Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming. Our community conversation tonight recognizes that the Holden community is bigger than who's here now. And it includes both the living and the dead. And we honor and remember tonight Dan Erlander, who was so much a part of this community through the years. And some of us may have known him through other connections. That would be me, and I'll tell you about that later. I wanted to begin just with a little technical info. We're recording this. So the audio recording will go to Dan's family. And I assume live here in the archives in some form. There's a clipboard if you're sure you want to tell a story. Until I make sure I'm calling you. But spontaneity will be allowed. And the recording quality will be best if you come up here to the mic. But if you prefer not to or cannot, I can bring it to you. So I'm going to start with a little bit of the introduction to Manna and Mercy. So these are Dan's words. This is a booklet about God, more specifically the God of the Bible, who is present and active in human history and in all creation. May I remind you of the audacity of this project? I am convinced that authentic God talk can take place only in the context of trembling, laughing at oneself, praying for forgiveness, and understanding that words never capture the reality to which they point. Well, that's true of God talk, but it's also true of talking about any human being's whole life and all the connections and impacts that includes. So we're going to have the audacious project this evening of capturing a bit of Dan's life and celebrating it with the words of our stories. Okay. Nancy Winders asked to go first, so you're on.
I am going first. My name is Nancy Winder, and I met Dan and Karen here at Holden in the 1970s, and we have remained dear friends all through these decades. There are always many stories about Dan Erlander, many of them in the context of like the Manna and Mercy reading, which is his wonderful and powerful and profound way of talking about scripture and the gospel and justice and peace. But Dan was also very funny, and sometimes he was unconsciously funny. And this is one of those stories. This is from probably 1979, 1980. Dan was the village pastor starting in September of 1979. And back in those days, Holden had, for meals, we had two settings in the dining hall. And also, in those days, the people leaving were named. And that naming got done at lunch. It sometimes went on for a while. So Dan was doing announcements. Is that the second setting of lunch of a gigantic village of 500 people here. And so he said to the group, I'm going to read all the names. Please wait until I have read them all. And then we will send you out with the Holden clap. If some of them, does somebody need a definition of clap? it's an old word for an STD, but that has always been a favorite story of many of us of Dan. So I'll start there.
Okay, Mark,
less of a story about Dan Erlander than actually an appreciation for someone who I think was a very seminal voice in the late 70s, as we just heard, through the 80s and 90s. Even though I had not been at Holden, you know, kind of during that era, it was then to, read what he had done and also to listen to the audio archives capture of Dan's teachings, many of them in this actually room itself, are wonderful to read and so or to listen to, so I commend them to you. But I also then printed out a download from his website, which captures very specifically his genius, because Dan was both a wordsmith and he was a graphic artist. And so to combine both the wordsmithing, and he was an apologist certainly for Christian thinking and theology, was very, very brilliant in its simplicity. So you can take a look at an example of that, and then also do take a listen to some of his seminars in which he then basically gets to live in perpetuity as a voice and a very wonderful example of pastoral presence here at Holden Village.
First, just a little tidbit, and I think this was while he was the village pastor, and this brilliant theologian and communicator was known as the wilderness nerd because he would wear his gaiters with his Converse tennis shoes. So, but another story about Manna and Mercy, and Nancy just reminded me, it came to Alan's story through his father. And he contacted Dan and said, how can I get more copies of your book? And Dan said, make as many copies as you want, because Alan could teach the Bible in a weekend. And then Alan had an opportunity to come to the States, and I don't know if this was related to when he came to Holden or not, but he contacted Dan and said, I'm coming to Washington, D.C., can I see you? And Dan said, yeah. So Dan bought his ticket to Washington, D.C., and met Alan Story. And as I heard the story, it was with, let's just start with a geography lesson. Yeah.
Carol, you're next.
I feel like at one level, Dan's theology and his life, and so it permeated my entire ministry from when I was ordained in 1990 till I retired in 2015. I'll say in a minute how I knew him personally, but his writing and drawing. I remember when Baptized We Live, of course, all the new member classes. The graphic of the living word, that arrow coming in and shattering. I remember my theology sometimes from Dan's graphics, yeah. And that's that one in particular. When Man and Mercy came out, I was pastoring Northeast Philadelphia, and I remember teaching it to my adult forum group, which was three working class guys in Northeast Philadelphia. And that was my first time teaching Man and Mercy. My last time was teaching it to, the quote, radical church babes at St. John United in Seattle. So really a different, but it was powerful with both. The graphics, and of course the prairie dogs. I mean, and just and that was so much. Dan was he the prairie dog? It was like, in the commentary. The way I knew Dan the best was we both served on the ELCA task force to prepare the social statement on peace. That's how I really got to know him. And we were sort of the peaceniks on the ELCA task force. You know, and we wrote a lot, we had all these, it's a wonderful process, the social statement process, and the task forces get very, at least our task force got very tight. And one of the people on the task force was General Bill Tuttle, who had just retired. It's Bob Tuttle, he teaches at, I think, Georgetown still, and it's his dad, and he had just gotten done being the head of logistics for the first Gulf War. He was a 4-star general, and he was on the task force. We had figured out a whole lot of things to say about how building peace in the world and all of that, and then it was like, we have to figure out what to say about war, you know. So they told, they said to Dan and I and to General Tuttle that we should go have lunch. And that we can, you know, figure out together, if the three of us could figure out what to say about, you know, what the LCA would say about war. And, you know, we did. It was grounded in our Lutheran tradition, which is just war, but making space for both the pacifists that have been through in our Lutheran tradition all along, including people like John Nelson, who's no longer with us, but also very much grounded in the future and the kingdom toward which we're moving. So, and that was Dan's gift. Anyway, thank you. Yeah.
It's Stacy.
I have a little note from Tom Witt. He says, do you remember at the PLU Global Mission event in the early 90s? So the theme was something about the tree whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. And we had a tree that we made at this big event. There were probably 700 participants. And it was the center for our prayer activity for this 4-day event. And the event culminated with a big final worship. Started on Thursday and culminated on Sunday. So we were, for the whole time, we were saying, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. So we had all these leaves that we'd cut out of construction paper. And you were to write the things that needed healing and prayers that you wished for the world. Because we thought every person would fill one out and put it on the tree, and then in the closing worship, they would all get distributed, and we would carry one another's prayers, and the leaves of the tree would be for the healing of the nations. Well, what do you know that not everybody did that? So we had to, I guess I'm going to have to just tell the story. We had to make some leaves so that everybody at the service would leave with one. And so we gathered at Dan and Karen's house. So this is Tom's memory. Remember when we gathered at Dan and Karen's house and we had all those leaves that no one had written prayers on? And we were all sitting around going, for the tension in Belgium, for my neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. And then Dan wrote one. So pretend this is the leaf, right? He says, prayers for people who don't plan ahead. Because we were getting a little punchy there around leaf 357, you know? So lots of fun stories like that. And I thought I would just share an excerpt from the entry in Dan's Caring Bridge, which some of you have already read, but this is what Susan Birchfield wrote. We sang Thy Holy Wings. Trusting Dan is now at rest in God's holy wings, nestling in her downy breast. We marked Dan with the sign of the cross, remembering his baptism. In life, in death, in life beyond death, Dan is God's beloved child. Last night, Karen read the last chapter of Dan's book, pointless people to him, where he tells the story of being with his own mother in her final days at Knollwood Convalescent Hospital, renaming it Knollwood School of Theology. In his mother's room, Dan learned once again of the richness of baptismal waters where God whispers, it is not what you gain, it is whose you are. You don't need points. You don't need points. One of Dan's favorite names for God's partner people is the pointless people, the people who do not keep score, but frolic in God's grace. So that's how I will remember Dan and the legacy that I hope to carry out. To hear God's whisper, it is not what you gain, it is who you are, and whose you are. We don't need points.
So who's got a story that didn't sign up? Something that's come to you?
Okay, one other little tidbit I can just do for
you. Go to the mic,
no,
please.
No, I'll go to the mic. Karen's going to have to do this.
It's not
Dan.
I worked in the office of the bishop in Northwest Washington Synod for many years, and I got a call one time from Churchwide and said, do you have an email for Dan Erlander? And I said, has hell frozen over? Dan, I don't know if he ever, I think Karin eventually got an email address, but Dan didn't. And he did all of what he did by hand. Those are hand printed. So that was just sort of a fun little thing at the Synod office. And I thought of it because our Synod office was in Carol Jensen's church.
Hello, I'm Tone Austin. I'm a member of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Seattle, where Dan was a member during his closing years. And when my wife and I got there about 7 years ago, he was going into his early stages of Alzheimer's. And Priscilla and I are very good supporters of that cause. So Dan would always introduce himself. Hello, I'm Dan. I would say, well, hello, Dan. I'm Tone. The next week, he would say, hello, I'm Dan. And I said, well, hello, I'm Dan. And he said, what, your name is Dan, too?
Yeah.
I said, no, you're Dan. He said, yes. I said, very good. So we had some good laughs with just knowing that we could share those memories and loving jokes at one another. And I'm also a graphic artist, and I'm very much in awe of his style and what he was able to do with the simplistic drawings. We have those etched on some of our windows in the sanctuary, the books, the banners, and everything that's Erlander. And I didn't know he was so great, so it was good to meet him and see how he really impacted Lutheranism and spread the Holy Spirit to one and all through his books and writings. And so it seems prayers. So since I met him in the later years, I really didn't know him as a pastor or a wordsmith. I just saw his books and his person. So God's blessing to the family.
This is a short story about a little bit of love and humor about Dan and Karin. Several years ago, we were up here, and the person in charge of the pot shop was lamenting the fact that we did not have a kiln with temperature controller, modern temperature controllers on it. So Nancy and some others got together, and they said, this is fixable. Let's figure this out. So we went back to Seattle, and we all agreed that we would meet at our house, you know, 6-8 couples, and we would raise money for this kiln. The ceramicist donated some items. So we're sitting around bidding on items that we like. And all of a sudden, Karin and Dan were bidding on this one item. And the bidding got very spirited. It just kept going up and up and up. And Karn would talk to Dan, and Dan would talk to Karn. And finally they folded. They gave up. And you could just see them slump in their seat. And then everybody laughed. And apparently there was this wink and nod going around the room. They presented them with the bowl.
Oh, nice.
The first time I met Dan Erlander was in Wenatchee many years ago. I was being interviewed for the interim position at Celebration Lutheran Church, and I was staying with some members of the church, Molly and Corinne, who were old Holden people at the time. And they said somebody from Holden would be down. I don't remember them saying who it would be, but that I might meet him the next morning, that he was just coming out of Holden. And so the next morning I meet Dan, and Dan introduces himself as Dan, and no Erlander or anything. And by that time I had been serving churches back east, but I had discovered Dan Erlander and was incorporating him in some of my classes, already baptized we live. And Dan was doing what Dan does, which is doodle and draw. And I realized, I knew this man, you know, I knew this is Dan Erlander. And he was just so delightful and so authentic and real. Fast forward many, many years, and I became kind of a living liturgy groupie for a while and was following them all around in several workshops. But my last encounter with Dan was about 5 years ago when I was the interim pastor in Boise. And he was down, he and Karin were down visiting Todd Erlander, his nephew, and Lisa Dean. And Lisa is also somebody who spent time up here and worked for PLU, if I remember right. And Dan was, as Tone said, was that his journey into Alzheimer's had begun. I don't think that it really remembered me, but they came to church, and just the look on his eyes, there was just an authenticity about Dan Erlander that always touched me, and it was still there. And I suspect it was still there to the very end. Mm-hmm. So it's been a blessing to know him.
I'm going to tell one that's not funny at all. And while I'm doing it, you might want to get a hymnal because we're going to sing My Holy Wings, O Savior. I think they're enough for people to share. I never was at Holden Village at the same time as Dan. Here's how I came to know him. In 1995, I think, I moved to Whidbey Island to serve a United Methodist Church in Langley, following a pastor who had been exited from ministry because he was a serial sexual abuser of congregants. And there was a really tight group of pastors that met once a week on South Whidbey that my predecessor had been part of. And Dan, who was living on the island, was part of that group. And that whole circle of pastors was really an important survival resource for me. But Dan, in particular, with his pastoral spirit and his kind heart, and his willingness to put time into a relationship, reached out to me especially and was a really important support to me through those hard years. And I have tried to pay that forward with others, as we all try to pay forward the laughs and the resilient spirit and the joy, right, that he brought to us. So, anybody else? We have one recording of Dan. And Pastor Priscilla is going to talk a bit about memorial arrangements and do a closing prayer. But we have time for a couple more remembrances if somebody's wanting to speak. Okay, let's go ahead and do this recording. You could give us a little frame for it.
So in 2015, Holden was installing new directors, Paige Carlson Hoffman and Chuck Hoffman. And on July 15th in 2015, they invited a bunch of people to come to Holden, and we all came on the same boat. came up in the morning, went home in the afternoon. It was an interesting experience. Anyway, and they invited, as part of the liturgy that day, they invited many of us who were there who were former village pastors to write a petition for the prayers for the Eucharist. And Dan was among our group, and he had written a petition. Kern came up to me before the service and said, "Will you please help Dan know, because this is when his Alzheimer's was really starting, will you please help Dan know when he's supposed to go up and make sure he gets there and gets back?" Said, "I'm honored to do that." And Susan Breel and I sat on either side of him and sort of cared for him in that and talked to him, and we all cried a lot. Susan and I cried a lot. Dan was fine. And when it was his turn, we just pointed him at it, and he walked right up to the lectern and prayed his prayer. And so, and this is the last time Dan did anything publicly at Holden Village. This is the last one. So I found it in the audio archive. And also, Mark mentioned the audio archive. There are 17 pages of links to Dan Erlander on the Holden audio archive. And I encourage you to go there and just start from the beginning. It's really good. But so here is Dan Erlander and this prayer. Totally encapsulates in many ways exactly what he was all the time and how he proclaimed to all of us.
Merciful God, for peace and justice in the world, among the nations, in communities, and in families, and for those in authority, may egos and pride not hinder them from doing what is right and what is good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Amen.
6:13. Let's sing to him. Yeah, let's sing to him. Thy holy wings, O Savior, spread gently over me, and let me rest securely through good will in thee. O be my strength and portion, my rock and hiding place, and let my erring
When Pat asked me to say the closing prayer, I did not expect the overwhelm of emotion that I am feeling right now. So, as Tony mentioned, I met Dan 7 years ago at the congregational meeting when a member asked me how I felt about being Dan Erlander's pastor. And I had a whole fangirl moment. And I was like, I'm honored! through the years, as we watched Dan's decline, as Tony mentioned, we have a soft spot for folks with Alzheimer's because my mother actually had died the week before that meeting from Alzheimer's. And so as we watched his decline, my children would engage, as Tony said, with Dan on a weekly basis and have chats with him and, oh, hi, Dan, and peace with Dan, and just greeting Dan. And somewhere off in back corners, I don't know where, there were like drawing contests or like some sort of sitting things happening. And my children tell me of the pictures that they drew sitting with Dan and the just deep love and care that they knew that he sincerely had for them. And as any pastor or pastor's kid might know, that is just a real gift. It is a real gift. And so, as we gather to say farewell to Dan, we won't be able to do it at Emmanuel because Emmanuel only has 12 parking spaces, and Dan is way too beloved to be contained in that space. So the farewell and the homecoming for Dan will be held at Trinity Lutheran in Linwood on Saturday, October 15th at 3 p.m. Many prestigious people within the church will be there to preside, and I'll be around as well. And we are grateful for the community that has surrounded Carn. I am grateful for the community that has surrounded her during my sabbatical. And I have been, I've been struck by this chorus of a song that that I want to sing. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, as a closing prayer. For everyone born, a place at the table. For everyone born, clean water and bread. A shelter, a space, a safe place for growing. For everyone born, a star overhead. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy. Holy God, we give you thanks for Dan Erlander, for the gift of knowing him in his pilgrimage here on this earth. We give you thanks for the inspiration and the teaching and the guidance and the example that he was, of one who was a creator of justice and joy. Grant peace and comfort to all of us who mourn, that we may delight in the day when we will be reunited with him in the snowy breast of Jesus. Amen.